now that I have heard C's side of the story, I'm really interested in yours. So what made you say yes to her post besides your insane amount of fandom FOMO?
Oh, wow. You hit the nail on the head. I don't even need to answer the question. God, yeah. I think just in 2018, I was just saying yes to everything. I don't even remember how many events I modded. I just wanted to do everything. And I was discovering the joy of like, there's a difference between being in fandom and being creative and being in fandom and sort of being useful with skills that you have. And I was just totally getting high off that. And I don't actually remember if I replied to C's mod call. I think I actually, like, I do remember that C posted in POTS that she was thinking about doing this and would anyone be interested? And I'm pretty sure at that point I said, I would totally be interested in helping, much in the same way I said, let's do a podcast to you when you brought it up. I was just like, yeah, I'll do it. I raised my hand. And yeah, at some point she messaged me and was like, no, I'm actually doing it. Yeah, I think I just joined because I thought it was cool. I thought it could be useful. And I loved that it was a fandom event that was actually going to support charity, which was something that I hadn't been involved with before. And also, as you say, I was saying yes to everything.
So like when you talk about skills at that point, because we've off mic listeners, Farrah and I have talked about how much she's learned through MTH. So that's why I'm asking this question. Like, were you fairly confident in your coding skills at that point? Or was it a lot more like, we're going to figure this out as we go along, or a healthy dose of both?
Well, to start with, I never volunteered to do the tech for MTH.
Oh, okay.
That was not my role. I came on as a mod and I was going to help run the like techie side of the Discord server.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of Discord server modding at the time. And, you know, I knew that I could make the server and I could set up the roles and anything that we needed from that end. I'm fairly sure I also had a couple of bots of my own at that point. So I had those software as well. And I wanted to be a mod. So I was going to help with spreadsheets and sign up forms and that kind of thing. I had experience doing web development at that point, and I had volunteered to be the web hoster. I do run a few charity websites, and I'd been doing that for several years, like almost potentially more than a decade before MTH. I already had a couple of charity websites that I pay for the hosting and the domains, and I built their websites for them and I maintain them when they need updates. I do an animal rescue and a small charity kids entertainment company. So I said, you know, I'll host the website and provide that side of things. I can pay for the hosting, I'll do the domain, whatever you want. But I hadn't actually volunteered to be the dev in any way. We did have a team of people who had volunteered to come on and try and tackle that side of things. And we'd actually been gifted the code, very kindly, the tech that had helped run Stony Trump's Hate, which is what MTH was kind of born out of, as C talks about a bit in her interview. We'd been gifted the code for how they had done it, which was, it was a website with the bidding somewhat built in that kind of I can't remember if it outputted to spreadsheets or if there were pages. I think it outputted to spreadsheets. It basically made the process of bidding a little simpler than the traditional, I say traditional, spreadsheet system. Like if you've seen Fandom Trump's Hate or the one for Fandom Loves Puerto Rico or the recent Black Lives Matter one, they all use what I consider the spreadsheet system, where you vote through a Google form and it automatically updates a spreadsheet with your bid being the next highest. And the creator auction info is kept separately, either on Tumblr posts or BLM did slides, which was really sleek and well done. But yeah, so we gifted the Stony Trump's Hate had the luck of having a tech help out. So they had this code already to build the website to do the bidding built in. We thought that was really cool. We were really grateful to be given the code. So we decided that we were going to have our own website and we were going to do it like that. So I got the website set up and we had some people who volunteered to try and tackle it. Unfortunately, anyone who's worked with anyone else's code will know that it can sometimes almost be harder to like reverse engineer someone else's system. unless you're very, very, very experienced with the language they're using and the libraries they're using. And it ended up being extremely challenging for the team that we had to try and figure out the code and get it implemented. Bless them, they kept trying, but life also happened. Several people had to leave the team. And at the end of the day, we just sort of ended up 3 days out of signups with no website.
Okay. I'm like getting a stress ulcer for you guys.
It took a decade off my life.
I would have cried very hard. Okay. So you're 3 days out and that's when you built the code?
So yeah, we had the spreadsheet system as a backup, which was an absolute necessity. And I say to anyone who, like, my biggest piece of advice to take away if you're trying to run something like this is by all means have big dreams and plans and get a big team and ask them to help you. But, you know, life happens and people bite off more than they can chew, or something happens that disrupts things, or things weren't what they expected them to be, their skills don't quite align, whatever. And sometimes stuff just doesn't happen. And yes, you need a backup plan for things like that. So we always had the spreadsheet system as a backup plan in our pocket. We'd been shown how to do it through MTH or FTH, which if anyone's thinking about running one of these Trump's Hate events, FTH has they have a starter kit for running a Trump's Hate event, and they will provide you with the basics of how they do everything and some helpful advice and stuff like that. So if anyone's wanting to run one, by all means, you can get that starter kit. And we had that kit and we knew that if we needed to, we could do it that way. But I'd already put so much mental energy into the website, and we built the rest of the website. We just didn't have the auction functionality. And you may know, I'm fairly tenacious.
I have met you.
Yeah.
May not know, but Ferret is a mustelid with a bone when she needs to be. Yes.
Yeah. So I had a bone in my teeth and I would not let it go. I found some plugins. I did really unseemly things to code that were just duct taped to hold it together. And signups opened that 3 days later. And I think I had 2 or 3 weeks after that to get the whole thing up and running. And it worked.
It did. From what I hear, like, you know, when people talk about the event from 18, because I came in, listeners, obviously, so I just started at 19. MTH 2019 was my first MTH. But the way that people talked about it, the mythos around already, I thought it had been going on for like a decade. And no one talked about any problems with it. So you certainly were successful from, especially from a legacy perspective, that isn't what people talk about. So
well, that's good to know. Yeah, it was... I mean, we've always had like a very, I think C mentioned this in her interview, this idea that like we present a very organized, cohesive, collected front, but the chaos happens in Mudjet.
Yeah,
there were some, I've told you that there were some nights when I was working on that website that first year where Mr. Ferret just opened the door, put a pizza down, shut the door again. He just knew he shouldn't talk to me, but I needed to be fed.
That's totally fair. Yeah. And I've responded to you that Mr. Flame like joked that when I was writing my paper, my PhD, he would know how straight I was by like how wide my eyes got, or like how many various pens I had shoved through my hair. So we all have those looks of insane busyness. So, but really quick, before we get going a little bit further, because this is the best chance we have to do this, I just want to pause and kind of remind everybody that coding doesn't just happen. Websites don't just exist. I think those of us who aren't techie people in a way, you know, like I call what Ferret does Ferret magic. I know a lot of other people do too, but I just want to kind of remind all of us that it really is like speaking another language. Websites are built on literal other languages, and the process of doing that is incredibly complicated, especially for sites like this. You know, there's really great accessible ways to build your own website now. Squarespace makes it really easy, but like none of that is what Ferret did. So just know that. And know that that's true for, like, if you have dev people in your company or you have IT people at your university, like, this stuff, they are multilingual and they have to be. And so the process of translating your English of, I want it to look like this, to that language that will make it look like that, is not plug and play. Like, it's not super simple all the time. Yeah. So like what Farrah gave herself 9 heart attacks. We're not, and we sound hyperbolic, but like that level of stress is real because she taught herself and taught this website a whole new language in 3 days.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah.
You are insane.
Yeah, I was
insane. That with all the love in my heart. And I'm really glad you did it.
The great part of that one was it actually, like, we couldn't do a full test. We didn't have enough time to do a full test with the full number of auctions that we knew we were going to have. And I had no idea what kind of traffic we were going to get, and also very little experience with websites that were going to experience a traffic burden. So websites I'd done before, like I said, I help with an animal rescue. I help with a small kids entertainment nonprofit. And they have steady traffic, you know, people come in from social media or because they Google searched, and it just kind of stays steady all the time. With something like MTH, the website's really only used for a couple of weeks every year. And the vast majority of the hits it gets are in the last 20 minutes. So we had several hundred people in the last 20 minutes refreshing constantly and aggressively and placing bids like crazy. And I was terrified the whole time that it was going to bring the site down. And it flickered a couple of times, but it was just holding out. And then the auction ended, and I had set the system up to end the auctions automatically, but I had told it to do too many at once. I had no way. I just didn't have the experience to know how many it was going to be able to handle. And I wanted it to end them fairly quickly because you don't want people to post bids that are technically too late, or it's not fair. So it attempted to end all, however many we had, 300 and some odd, I think, auctions at the same time. just totally fried the website. It was just way too much traffic. And so the website disappeared. That's a night I will never get back. I was so unbelievably stressed. And we didn't have a great backup system. So I was so worried that we'd spent all that week doing all that bidding and, you know, it was all going to be lost and we were going to have to start over. But with help from my web hosting tech support, bless them, they've helped me a couple of times and they're fantastic. We were able to sort of just let it up a little bit as it tried to finish ending all of these chaotic auctions. It finally worked through everything. And I hand copy and pasted all the information before I asked the website to do anything. I just carefully took all the information out and saved it. And all the auctions were lost. We had to delete them, but we had all the bidding information. So we were able to send out everything, and it was not the utter disaster that it could have been, but I had a few hours of sleep where it could have been.
Oh my gosh. So then, I mean, you have this utter like mix of emotions for 18. Did you think about not coming back for 19 when C said she was going to do it again? Or was it like a no brainer? Like, of course I'm going to do this because we are going to improve it.
Oh yeah. 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 I was like, oh, we can do this better. Like if I had more than a week to do this, it could be good. And I'd solved so many problems and I'd learned so much. And I was like vaguely tolerable at PHP almost before this. And I'd learned so much more and I was feeling pretty fluent and I knew that I could make this happen. So then 2019 rolled around and a couple months out, I was like, all right, I'm going to like get the website updated and start fixing things again. And it turned out that the critical plugin that I was using, they had sold themselves to another company. And
fun.
Yeah, and they'd completely recoded it. So now it depended on the plugin from the other company. And that basically broke everything that I had written to make it work for us instead of, it's basically like an eBay plugin and I had altered it significantly so it would work for the way that we do things. And all that was gone. So then I got to start over in 2019.
Oh, did you have to do it for 2022 or was that?
No, okay. No. because they sold to the big company, it was fairly stable this year. So there are always things I'm going to have to redo, but I was able to use I just saved my own code and then I have to basically reapply it. And so yeah, 2020 is actually, it's been great. I have a dev team, which is amazing, because we had a bunch of people volunteer to help out, and that's been really wonderful. And everything sort of survived from last year, so I was able to get it all up and running again. If anyone used the site last year, you know, there were some requests we got for features, and I've made a pretty good whack at that list of requests as well. So I'm hoping that this year people will find it even better than last year.
Yeah, and depending on when you're listening to this, we're either in signups or the auction is happening, or you're listening to this sometime in 2025 and it's way, way over. Welcome whenever you're with us. I think as somebody who was a participant last year and a mod this year, I think everyone's going to be really excited about some of the changes. So I'm excited to see kind of where this goes. So I've got one other kind of like interviewee question, and then we'll move on to being a little bit more, I think, mutually fandomy about it. But from a, like, from a mod perspective, I guess I'll ask what I ask C, which is, if you could have everybody kind of understand one thing about modding this event and devving this event and what that kind of looks like, what do you wish it could be?
I mean, I think I do agree with C somewhat in that I never feel like people really think that, you know, this is something that we just throw together in a few minutes, but I think sometimes what happens is people don't understand how much we have to budget our time for this. Like, we have to make legitimate choices between things that we're going to be able to do for it, because we only have as much time as volunteers are able to give. And even though there may be people on the team who are capable of doing things, or even if it's sort of technically possible to make a feature happen, knowing how to solve it doesn't actually solve it, or knowing how it ought to look doesn't actually solve it. And that at the end of the day, you know, we all have lives and jobs and other stuff, and we all put so much in this. 2018 had so many all-nighters trying to get it off the ground, and sometimes we just have to, you know, when we say we ran out of time to do something, we just literally ran out of time to do something, and some stuff gets on the chopping block, and that's just the way that it goes. Or, you know, sometimes we have had, like, I gotta say, our mod meetings are, you know, they're supposed to be 2 hours. We've never had one that was less than four, I think. Sometimes we have debated and discussed a topic, and we've really, like, put in the mental legwork to make the decision that we make about why we're gonna do it a certain way. And we just can't share all of that conversation publicly. People just have to trust that we're making these decisions for reasons.
Yeah, and I think, you know what, that's also like a really good life lesson. You know, if we're not in the room where it happens, if we're not in the decision-making process, there's always gonna be context we don't understand. Mm-hmm. So participating in an event, volunteering for something, being employed by a company, you know, means that there's always things you're going to miss and always people you're just going to have to trust. And so I know, I remember last year there was a lot of people in the Discord just being like, well, we could ask Ferret to just do this. And I remember side-eyeing them and being like, I don't think that you understand what those words mean, chickens. Like,
most of the time I am aware of those things the website isn't doing, and I probably put a few hours into trying to solve them.
Yeah. Like, and I didn't, like, you know, we weren't even friends at that point. Like, now my defensive, you know, flame hackles will rise.
I picture you like, what's the dinosaur in Jurassic Park where the like ridge goes up?
Oh yeah. I don't know, but yes, possibly that. Yeah. Yes. Or I am the fire breathing dragon from the Game of Thrones GIF, like totally. that goes on. But it, you know, that's a really common thing, because the beautiful double-edged sword of this fandom is that we are all so enthusiastic. That I think sometimes we all forget that this hobby for literally all of us.
Yeah. And I mean, I know people are suggesting things because they're trying to be helpful, and I love that. Yeah. And that they're, you know, a lot of the stuff that people have suggested are things that we've implemented in the next year.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, I guess if anybody wants to volunteer to help.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm rereading a lot of Brené Brown's works right now. And she bases like everything she does off of Teddy Roosevelt's thing. Like, the only people I want to talk to are the people in the arena who are covered in blood, sweat, and tears, you know?
Right.
And so I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, I'm a mod this year because they put out a call for applications.
Yeah.
And I sent an email and said, hey, I think I could be useful. Mm-hmm. And I specifically really wanted to help vet and figure out and pick out some of the charities and offer those kind of things, my skill sets in those areas to the team. And I got a chance to help in that way. And that was, you know, doing a lot of really nerd-tastic research and digging through people's tax files.
Aw, you're in your happy place.
I really am. I loved it. I love reading 990s. It's just so much fun.
That's me in spreadsheets. I got to code a spreadsheet the other day. It was so much fun.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We are fundamentally different people in a lot of beautiful ways, but like, I really love learning about these nonprofits that I didn't really know about. And, you know, it was all really, really great. But like, in terms of hours, I've already put 60 hours into this thing and yeah. The signups aren't even open. And so it's all, and like a lot of us in the team are really blessed with partners or families or lives who kind of get what MTH means, and they're going to give us some space over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Which is really beautiful. It's already literally on Mr. Flame's calendar to just not talk to me that weekend.
Lovely.
And so all of this is really beautiful and really wonderful, but I guess the thing from the person who can transition from participant to mod that I would add to that is just to remember, I wish we could all hold tight that this is a hobby for everyone.
Yeah.
Which includes the participants.
Yeah. I was going to say I'd say we don't get very much negativity around the event, but the stuff that we have had that I would classify as negative has mostly been about people being upset about the relationship they have either with their winning bidder or with the creator that they won. And
yeah, there's been impatience, I know, in the past, just from the Discord server, people expressing impatience.
Yeah, impatience is common, yeah. Or miscommunications, or people changing their minds about stuff, or people ghosting. And to that, I want to say, like, I think that we have to remember that at the end of the day, this is still a fandom event. And the money is a donation to charity. And the point of the donation is to donate to charity, not to get a commission from someone. If you want someone to owe you that level of commission, you need to pay them directly. And in the case of this, we are encouraging people to participate because we want it to be a bigger thing to support the charities that we're supporting. And that's why we have a mod team that are putting in full-time plus hours for several months to make it happen. I wouldn't do this much for a big bang. I really wouldn't.
But no, absolutely not.
It's support. And I've never been in a fandom event that wasn't like this, that was this much work. So I think that at the end of the day, if everybody can just take a little moment and hold that nugget and remember that you're not buying a commission, you're donating to charity, and you get a fun bonus prize as a result. Some of those auctions are not going to come through. People are going to have life get in the way. Mom's going to get sick. They're going to have a baby. They're going to have to move. A pandemic is going to
be a global pandemic. Yeah.
No one's giving you a refund. You donated to charity. And there should be a little bit of personal satisfaction and joy just in the donation to charity part. And the fact that we're coming together as a fandom and doing it brings a little bit of joy too. And then the potential to get a little custom fan work. You know, like some of the charities noticed. They got in touch with
us. Yeah, some of the ones I've already talked to, like one of them has kind of said like, oh my God, could like one of you write something for the kids? I'm like, yes, like. The charities notice.
They notice, and we didn't even say anything to them last year. And one charity had enough people mention it in their donation notes, I guess, or maybe they were Googling themselves and they saw we had mentioned them. And they got in touch and they were super excited that we'd chosen them for the list and that people were donating on behalf of that. And for me, like, I just think that the exchange of fan works part is just a sweet bonus. And I've gotten to work with people that I never would have connected with otherwise. And that's been awesome in terms of like making stuff for them or having other people make stuff for me. But I hope that everybody will hold a little bit of patience and a little bit of understanding inside them for this year, and just respect that the end of the day, what we're most excited about is generating some affection for some really wonderful charity groups.
Yeah. And if anybody, you know, listening to this pod is curious about some of the specific charities beyond what we write publicly, I can wax poetic about nearly all of them. So find me on Discord. And I've spent a lot of mental, almost as much mental energy as Ferret has spent thinking about the search function. I have spent thinking about medical charities and seeing who's doing the most for COVID and making sure that everybody has mission statements that match with MTHs. And it's been like, cause I went back and rechecked all the charities from last year too. Like, we're not resting on our laurels in case somebody changed something or, you know, doesn't do anything. We wanted to do our due diligence for you guys, because the most important part of this event really is the charities. Especially this year, when there is so many prescient things that need so much financial support to move things forward. So I want to do just a little kind of like quick thing about being a first-time MTH participant.
Yeah. But
before I get into that, do you have anything else to say in kind of this section of the MTH ramble?
No, I mean, yeah, I guess like at the end of the day, I wasn't expecting to end up in this role, which is kind of like, I guess, head of the dev department.
yeah, I would say you are.
But as I said, I've learned a lot. Some of that has really transitioned into other areas of my life. I'm super, super, super proud of the website that I've made and what it can do, which I think is pretty special. And it gets easier and also cooler every year, which is awesome. And yeah, I mean, I treat it like a job, and I give it that much of my time and respect, and it satisfies the need in me to get a problem and rip it apart until it's solved. So as much as I wasn't expecting to end up where I am with this, I am glad that as much as it's been a lot of stress and a lot of midnight pizza, yeah, I'm glad with the way that it's turned out, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how it goes this year.
And I'll say a little bit of what I said to C, because it was her idea, but a huge part of why it works the way it works is your tenaciousness with the tech. So on behalf of all of us who have participated and not have any tech problems, I want to thank you for making sure that we can give money to Partners in Health, because we like writing superhero porn, you know, like it's pretty special.
Yeah, I hope it keeps going for a long time.
Yes. But speaking of, we are still new, even though I thought we'd been around for like 10 years. So last year was my first year. Uh-huh. And there's a couple quick things that I would say to anybody for whom this is their first year.
Yeah.
Because it is a bit terrifying for a couple reasons, I know. First of all, it feels very vulnerable to put your stuff up for auction. It is a very vulnerable act. I'm not going to say it's not. And that's one of the reasons that we would encourage you to keep in mind what you're doing it for. That this is, you know, if you put it up at a minimum bid of $5 and it goes for $5, that is five more dollars that Planned Parenthood had they didn't have before.
Absolutely.
And so if you can hold that as your intention as you go forward. The other thing is that there is, and we can't lie, a huge range of knownness among authors in this fandom. Mm-hmm. And so, especially if you're on the Discord server, which we have an MTH Discord server, please join it if you want to talk to people. We'll make sure we have the link in the show notes. Or if you're on another Discord and people are talking about MTH and there's folks like Tisfin or 27 Dragons or Mizzy talking about how they're going to go for triple digits, because they will, and you're worried you're going to make your $10 bid, it can very much feel like, well, why do I even bother? And I want to say once again, that's 10 more dollars that Common Cause didn't have before you agreed to write your 2K fic. Mm-hmm. So please keep that in mind. Also remember, it is not a competition. It feels like one, but that is a feeling, not a fact. It is about creating.
Your therapy. Here's a little therapy for everyone.
A little therapy for everybody. Not a fact. It is feeling, not a fact. I felt like a lot of the Discord last year was therapy. So that's one of the reasons that I'm kind of, also one of the reasons I signed up literally was to kind of be able to hang out in the Discord and be like, guys, breathe through paper bags. Like, you're going to be okay.
Just side note on that, you don't have to be participating to be in the Discord. If you just want to hang out and be a part of it, even signal boosting counts as participating. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Encouraging people is huge. It's a great community. People love brainstorming what they could offer, or like while the auction is going on, somebody will come in and be like, you know what? My dream is to have somebody write me a Beauty and the Beast AU with Bucky and Tony. And all of a sudden Tig does this, comes along and tags 14 people. And it's like one of these people will do it. And then you start exchanging auction numbers and it's like, well, oh, how could I write that? Oh, that could be fun. The two fics I ended up or will end up writing for MTH were absolutely not what I thought I was going to write when I went into it. And one of them is 140,000% Saber's fault.
So many things are.
Which is why I'm writing a bunch of you guys and My Fair Lady AU.
Yes.
Which I still have to figure out the problem of Henry Higgins, but we're going to get there. And so, but all of this, like, I was a very, no one knew who I was really last fall, guys. Like, no one really knows who I am now, but I know more people know who I was then because I'm more active in fandom now. I'm more active on the Discord. Last fall, I was only in Stuckoni and the Captain America Big Bang server. And then my third server pretty much was MTH. And that's one of the ways I got involved with things. It's how I met Tig. It's who was then my first collab partner. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that. So it is a really gentle way to enter too, even though it doesn't feel that way. Because here's one of the secrets of MTH. Everybody gets bid on. Everybody. And that's not a lie. That's not a marketing pitch. Because there's a lot of us that wait to make sure that everybody gets bid on.
Yeah.
The last couple days that we run this thing called a golden needle, which is so cool, which will highlight the ones that don't have bids. And then people like me and one of our podcast staff, Marie, and some other people swoop in and start making sure that people get bids.
Yeah, there's always some cool stuff. Some of the less known ships, people don't notice at first. And also last year we had, 540 something auctions. It was really hard to find stuff. And I've actually, I've tried to implement some new features on the website this year that will hopefully make it easier to find things. But the trade-off for making it easier to find specific things is that sometimes people miss things that they didn't think to look for. And it's, you know, there's gold needles, but there's also going out and promoting yourself and reblogging on your Tumblr and saying what you're up for. And if you share all that, it's guaranteed somebody wants that from you.
Just remember not to put it in your AO3 comments because that's against their policy.
True.
Or in your AO3 endnotes, they ask you not to do that. But put it all over your Tumblr, all over your Twitter, all over your Discord profiles. You can put it as your status on Discord, what your MTH auction names are. All of that is true. And certainly in our podcast server, we'll be talking about it. You can come there and find me and Ferret holding each other and weeping. the last thing I will say is that the issue around your starting bid is stressful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's not, because the conversation of like undercharging or overcharging is kind of bullshitty. Because if we're going to talk about like what you charge per hour for these kind of things, like no one could have, like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, what is fan labor in the terms of capitalism?
Yeah.
Who knows? So for crafts, I will say, please make sure your costs are covered. And then past that, bit of a crapshoot, can't lie. But like, what would you feel your quality would justify? Like how much money to charity would you like to be donated for this thing? And then maybe take a fourth of that and that's your start.
Yeah, it's really, I think for the starting bid, the best way to think about it is what's the minimum amount that your auction could make that wouldn't feel like it wasn't worth the time that you were going to have to put into it. And a lot of people handle that by making their auction get better the more the money goes up. So if the auction goes for $10, then you get 2,000 words. If it goes for $20, you'll get 4,000 words. And if it goes anywhere over $20, you'll get 30,000 words, or however you want to do it. And you can put that in your work description. You can say that, and that can apply. So From a mod perspective, we recommend that people try and err on the low side for starting bid, mostly because people are afraid to blow their whole budget on one starting bid for a single auction. Whereas people are more likely when they get into like a bidding frenzy with other people, they'll go up by $1 at a time and they can still end up blowing their budget. But if you start very, very high, it's going to take longer to get that first bid and there might be less action on your auction. The flip side of that is that if that's the minimum that you were willing to take and you understand that the trade-off is that it's possible that your auction won't get bid on, then by all means, we've had some people who go with their basic commission cost as their first bid and sometimes those get bid on and sometimes they don't. Yeah, so if you're not sure, I really say just go low. I usually start at I think my starting bid last year was $5. People will, they'll get the ball rolling. And once it's going, that's then the bids start happening. But if you sort of price yourself out of that initial testing the waters phase, then you might not get noticed. So you just kind of have to decide what your priorities are, I guess.
Yeah. And we're saying it's hard because the mod team is not going to tell you what the answer is either.
Yeah.
Cause it really needs to be for you. But that's a great thing to chat about with other people that have done it before. And people like me, I did the sliding scale last year, which is how I ended up owing people two 50K fix. because I put it really low and did that sliding thing because I figured nobody would bid on me. And I was like, oh, no one knows who I am. No one bid on me. And then Saber found out who I was and a pod bid happened. And that was the end of that. Oh yeah, pod bids. The other thing too, is if you are somebody who is low on cash, as a lot of us are these days, mm-hmm. you really, really want something. You would really want Mizzy to write you a terribly long ID porn fic. You can gather a bunch of people together mm-hmm. and go in together.
Yep.
And then you can still have one bid.
We actually have a system on our Discord where you can register your pod bids. And then if other people want to join, they'll know who to contact. And you can actually make your pod bigger and bigger and get more and more money. Usually the way it works is you have a basic idea everybody agrees on. And since you all want the same thing, you all say how much you're willing to chip in. And that total will be your max bid. And one single person is in charge of managing the bidding and they will keep bidding until they hit the max bid. And, the pod bids that I've been in, I think all of them have won. So it is a great way to drum up more money for charity because it gives people an opportunity to get people that they really want to win without necessarily having the amount of straight up cash on their own that it would take.
And there's also lots of other ways to participate besides offering fic. There's craft, there's art, but there's also things like beta services, specialty services, translation. I'll tell you right now, if you are up for translating a fic, I know a lot of people that are going to bid on that. Because mm-hmm. Most of us are desperate to get fan works into other languages. We just don't know how. If you want to pod fix something, if you want to create a comic for something, whatever way you want to create something, I can almost guarantee you somebody wants to spend money on that.
Fan labor category is also there's a lot of opportunities in there and people are going to be looking for sensitivity readers and researchers.
Yep.
So I know we have people in the fandom who have some really cool specialist knowledge and somebody's going to want that for one of their fics. So, by all means, make an auction that, that offers some specialty fan labor. People will snatch that up.
Yeah, there's somebody on POTS, and the name is escaping me, please forgive me, who's doing a lot of research right now into slang words of the 1940s. Put that mother up. People will pay for that mm-hmm. kind of knowledge. So yeah, the summary is, we know it's scary, but we can both promise it's worth it.
Yeah.
And just dip your toe in or jump full in like both of us do, your call. But welcome to Marvel Trumps Hate. We're really excited to have you. And let's change the world a little bit more this year.
I can't wait.